The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the Herb.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. It is Wednesday, May 12th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Potland, Oregon. It's not a typo, it's a way of life. And the beautiful Rolla J Studios here at Normal's West Coast Media Headquarters. And in unfortunate news for today, at this point I would normally introduce our engineer, Ganja John, but Ganja John has got a bone chip in his ankle, unfortunately, and it's a sad thing. He kind of tripped down the stairs coming down to the studio last night and rolled his ankle. And it turns out to be worse than we thought. He's actually got a bone chip. So he is at the doctor right now trying to get that taken care of. But joining us in our virtual studio from beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. That sounds painful.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad yesterday, too. It was all swollen up. So, we got him some frozen peas out of the freezer, to get some ice on it and loaded him up a couple of keefy bowls. And that helped. But, bone spur, you got to take care of that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a little cannabis does not heal bones. It just makes the healing go a little bit better.
That's right. Cannabis does some amazing things, but it does not mend bone. Carrie, how are you doing up there in Astoria? I understand you've got some guests in town.
Oh, I do. I have a bunch of my family is here and a bunch more is coming tonight, and we're having a great time. The weather's cooperating, and we have definitely spent some time out on the beautiful Oregon coast beaches. Yeah. Unbelievably gorgeous. We're having a great time, Russ.
Yeah, and I caught you in the chat room yesterday, too, talking about the guy who was in The Goonies. He always has to do the truffle shuffle. What was that again?
Oh, the guy that played Chunk, the little fat kid
right. That
did the truffle shuffle. Well, he's a hunk now. He's an entertainment lawyer. His name's Jeff Cohen, and he'll actually be up here in a couple of weeks. They're having the 25th Goonies reunion, I believe, on June 7th here in Astoria. If you love the Goonies movie, come on out, because Corey Feldman will be here along with a lot of the other stars from that movie. And, we'll be tracing the steps of the glory days of the Goonies here in Astoria. Hey, all things Goonies.
That's right. We got to get some live remote from that, Carrie, if they're doing that.
Really?
During the show. Sure. We could have some Goonies reports here. That'd be a lot of fun.
I love it. Okay.
Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after our first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go to the state of Illinois. People have been waiting to see when that vote is going to come to see if they will get their medical marijuana law passed. So we're going to cover that. We're also going to go to a small county in Kentucky and cover someone who's running for sheriff. And Russ, I only do these because I love your intro and I know you like to play it. We've got a stupid stoner story coming out of Texas.
Oh my goodness, stupid stoner story. And of course, we don't do that to bring anyone down. It's more of a learning moment, a teachable moment, if you will. Don't be like that guy kind of thing. So we'll get that right after our first break. Thanks, Carrie. We'll be right back with you. Also coming up on today's show at 20 after the hour, we got a special tune for our Irie Wednesday. It's not really a reggae tune at all. It's really kind of more of a disco tune, but it's because today, May 12th, is my brother Josh Belville's 27th birthday. So we're very happy about that. We're going to celebrate. That's right. We're going to try to get him on the show here at 20 after. He's at work right now, so we'll see if we can get him on the show. We're going to play his favorite tune here at Normal Show Live called Get Stoned Together, a love song for all of you tokers out there. Also, coming up on the show, we're going to have a whole bunch more. We've got Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. You can ask your live questions in the chat room at half past the hour. Carrie will bring them to me, and we'll ask him of Dr. Mitch. Your questions on cannabis science, history, culture, health, anything you want to know. And at the end of the show, a little bit more radical rant, my look at California legalization. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Radical Russ Belville, outreach coordinator for Normal and host of Normal Show Live. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and I encourage you to visit marijuanadoctors.com to find a physician to help you obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in your state. In most medical marijuana states, patients qualify with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis, and other conditions which vary by state. Learn which conditions are covered in your state at marijuanadoctors.com. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, MarijuanaDoctors.com will help you find a physician online or by phone to obtain a permit for medical marijuana. MarijuanaDoctors.com is fully transparent and HIPAA compliant. Call 866-996-9333 today or visit MarijuanaDoctors.com. That's 866-996-9333 by phone or online at MarijuanaDoctors.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We have been waiting for the Illinois House to vote on Representative Lane's Senate bill for 8 months last year. Interestingly, Illinois has already passed a medical marijuana law over 30 years ago in 1978 called the Cannabis Control Act. It required the Department of Human Services and the Illinois State Police to enact new policies on marijuana before it could be legally distributed, but neither agency has made any move to do so. Well, on Friday, the Illinois House adjourned before acting on the legislation that would have legalized medical marijuana in the state. Advocates foreseeing legal medical marijuana in the state are not giving up, but rather digging in their heels, saying they will continue to push for Senate Bill 1381 until it or similar legislation is passed. Limey Nargenlis, a lobbyist for the Illinois Association of the Chief of Police, responded to the media about the need to keep medical marijuana out of Illinois with one of the more outrageous statements saying, quote, "There's a lot of stuff in marijuana that's not good for you. It's like people taking meth. People feel a lot better after ingesting methamphetamine," unquote. State Representative Lou Lang had said last week that it appeared the Illinois bill was a few votes short of the 60 required for passage in the House, and that he wouldn't call for a vote unless he knows that the measure will pass. Representative Lang said he may call for a vote after the November election and before newly elected lawmakers take office in January, which highlights the perceived political risk of supporting medical marijuana, even though a recent national poll shows a majority of American voters back the idea. Lang hopes that his colleagues will come to see this as a health care bill and not a bill about drugs, and if passed, will help people and not hurt them.
You know, Carrie, we need to come up with a new introduction. Stupid legislator stories. My God, comparing marijuana to meth. This could only be done by someone who is A, never done marijuana, and B, never done meth. Look, as someone who's done both, right? I had my little bout of methamphetamine abuse in the early 90s or mid 90s or so. One of the nastiest things, one of the darkest segments of my entire life. I will testify 100% here. Marijuana is not meth. Okay. And this idea that there's lots of stuff in marijuana.
What is this stuff in marijuana that God's been putting into it? I mean, not like meth where you got, you know, battery acid or, you know, all the terrible things, pseudoephedrine and stuff that they use to make methamphetamine. What comes in marijuana is completely natural. It's THC, it's cannabidiol, cannabigerol, cannabichromine, cannabidabidoo, terpenes, all these other things that are completely natural and completely non-toxic to healthy cells and organs. That's right. Not one single death in 5,000 years of human beings using cannabis for various purposes. It was found on the tomb of King Solomon. It was found, Queen Elizabeth used it for her menstrual cramps. This is so ridiculous. And looking back at this 1978 Cannabis Control Act in Illinois, you know, there are a lot of states, actually, that have a medical marijuana law on the books. But it's an impotent law. Usually what the problem is they put these laws on the books that say, marijuana shall be allowed if it is prescribed by a doctor. And the problem is that word prescribed messes it all up. Because once you say prescription, you're now in federal territory. The federal government, through the Controlled Substances Act of 1970, controls the ability of doctors to write prescriptions. So, since cannabis is a Schedule I drug, it is not prescribable anywhere in the United States, according to federal law. So the minute these state laws say prescribe, those laws are null and void. I know that's a situation in Arizona. I think Connecticut has a similar law. There's many states that have these kind of laws. In the Illinois case, it's really sad because they didn't mandate that the agencies of the state government actually do something about it. It's kind of like passing a law and saying, well, when you get around to it, you know, make cannabis legal for medical purposes. And of course, the cops and the legislature just never get around to it. That's the problem. And that's why it's so important when we craft these medical marijuana bills that we craft them with an eye toward what a unsympathetic legislator is going to do with that language. We'll talk a little bit about that more, too, at the end of the show. That's one of the complaints lobbied against this California legalization initiative, and I'll address that in our radical rant. That's not what I wanted to play. Hold on here. It's tough running the show by myself here. Let's get the real thing going here.
And people run for public office for many reasons. In Gallatin County, Kentucky, Ronnie Smith is running for sheriff because he wants to let Kentucky farmers grow marijuana. He urges all activist potheads, those are his words, to run for sheriff in their counties as well. Ronnie Smith is a comedian by trade under the stage name Roland A. Doobie. He feels that many of the laws against marijuana violate the constitutions of the United States and of Kentucky on many levels. He says that the roadblocks on U.S. Highway 42 in his county restricts our constitutional right to travel from one place to another unimpeded. Smith is a libertarian and will be running as an independent on the November ballot against incumbent Nelson Brown. If elected, he won't rest on changing the lives of cannabis users. He said that he vows to stop all bank foreclosures in his county as well. Now, the odds are slim that he can overcome the incumbent, but if he does, he says he will accept marijuana as payment of property taxes to be redistributed to those who would like to buy it, since the Commonwealth of Kentucky already sells marijuana tax stamps. Well, we wish you luck. We wish him luck.
I certainly do, you know, and kind of interesting, you know, accepting marijuana as a tax payment, that really goes back to our heritage that, you know, marijuana, hemp, was accepted as tax in the colonies, you know, in the 13 original colonies. It was required that you grew hemp and you could pay your taxes with hemp. So that's kind of cool that we're getting back to that. On the other hand, Roland A. Doobie, cute, right? We don't want to, I mean, I want people who support marijuana reforms to run for office. It's the number one best activism thing you can do. Think about the conservatives back in the early 1960s, the era of Goldwater and all. They were completely out of power. They were, you know, wandering alone in the desert. And what brought them back to power throughout the 1980s and early 90s was not by running for president, running for governor, running for senator, but by running for school board, running for water bureau, running for city council. It's those local elections that make all the difference. And you can build that base of power on a local level and build it up to a national level and actually make some differences here. Now, I did want to bring something up that Mr. Doobie notified here. He's talking about the roadblocks in Kentucky. This is a law that I want to bring up to some folks that you may not know about. It's something called per se DUID zero tolerance laws. And what this means is in these states, in certain states, they have this law that says if they catch you driving a car and you have any marijuana metabolites in your system, you're a drunk driver. You're as bad as a drunk driver, and you get the same kind of punishments like losing your license and possible fines and jail time. These states are Arizona, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Georgia, Delaware, Rhode Island. And then those states, and I've got a map up online at stash.normal.org. Just search for Metapot map that shows those states. In any of those states I just listed, if you're pulled over and they get you a urine test and they find marijuana metabolites in your urine, you're a drunk driver. And we all know that marijuana metabolites are no sort of indication for current impairment. All they tell us is that you have been using marijuana. In a case like me, a big fat guy who uses daily, those metabolites are going to show up for 30 days. So it's a very, very ridiculous law. It's unfair and it's unjust. And I just wanted to warn all you cannabis consumers about that.
Scooping Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Ah, yes, a stupid stoner story out of Texas. A LaPorte man was charged with marijuana possession after an officer found around 2 ounces of marijuana in the man's car. This Monday night, an officer pulled over Matthew Creel about 11 p.m. for a defective taillight. Turns out Mr. Creel was driving on a suspended driver's license. Well, that isn't good. He was initially arrested on that charge. Now the worst part. While the car was being impounded, Officer Robert Wood could smell marijuana and found the 2 ounces of cannabis on the car seat wrapped in a piece of paper. When Officer Eric Bruss unwrapped the paper, he noticed that it was a March 16th Galveston County court record in which Mr. Creel had been given a deferred adjudication for possessing less than 2 ounces of marijuana. Now, deferred adjudication, that basically means that they are holding final judgment in a situation until a later time. Usually between the deferred adjudication hearing and the final judgment, the charged individual is given an opportunity to do something that will result in the crime sentence being taken off the individual's record. Probably not a good sign for Mr. Creel. He was charged with the new count of possession of marijuana, and his bond was set at $2,000.
Carrying your marijuana on your person while driving on a suspended license and wrapping the ganja in papers from court from the last time you got busted with marijuana. Man, that's a special kind of stupid. What state was that in, Carrie?
That's in Texas, in LaPorte, Texas.
Yeah.
A Galveston court system.
Yeah. If you were going to pick a state to be that stupid, Texas is not the one to be doing something like that. Oh, my God. Carrie, this is just unbelievable to me. I don't even know where to go with this other than to tell people that, number one, if you're going to drive around with cannabis, remember to only break one law at a time. Right? That's what I call Steinborn's law. Break one law at a time. So if you're breaking the law by carrying cannabis, have up-to-date tags on your car, have your license up to date, have your car insurance up to date. Don't speed, don't tailgate, don't swerve around in different lanes. Come on, people. I hate to have to do these stupid stoner stories like this, but when are you gonna learn? We have to be better than, right? There's an old saying, and Chris Rock said it in one of his stand-up routines, where he said, the black man's got to fly to get where the white man can walk to. And I take that to effect with us as cannabis consumers. We've got to be better than. We've got to fly to get to where the regular folks can walk to. And every time one of these stoner stories comes up like this, our opponents use it to say, see how irresponsible people are with cannabis. Here's a guy driving around with cannabis. Well, they call it pot or marijuana or dope or whatever. But that's why we have to set the example. We have to be the responsible marijuana consumers so that they see that the majority of us are good folks and the majority of us obey the law and don't do stupid stuff like that. It needs to get to the situation where when someone sees a stupid stoner story in the news, that they don't think, oh, that's typical, but that they think, oh, what an aberration, right? Like when people think of people who drink, generally we get a story about some alcoholic or some, domestic violence or something, and people think of that as the aberration, and they think that most people who use alcohol use it responsibly and they're using it in adult fashion. That's what we need to get back to with cannabis.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
Going to light.
Roll a big fatty.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, world, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers in Des Moines, Iowa, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, now available on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, folks. 22 after the hour, and I'm exercising some host prerogative today. We're not going to play an Irie Wednesday reggae-type song. In fact, this song's a little bit disco. And joining me on the line to celebrate his 27th birthday today, my brother, Josh Belville. Hey, Josh.
Hello.
Hello. Are you at work today?
I am. I'm outside. I'm trying to find a place that's quiet so I can... There's like construction going on everywhere. I'm trying to find a non-construction area.
Well, I just wanted to bring you on to wish you a happy birthday. And my birthday present here is the chance for you to make your music and your website and everything known to the people out there. A lot of folks, if you've been following me, you know that I was a professional musician for most of my life, and so is my father. And my brother Josh here, who's 15 years younger than me, has kind of followed in the family footsteps. He's a singer-songwriter here in Portland, Oregon. Josh, tell him about your website and how you came up with this song, Get Stoned Together.
My website is just my name. It's joshbelville.com. The song came about basically because you asked me to. I was just messing around one day, and I think you just popped in at some point and said, hey, you should write a stoner song or some kind of song about marijuana. And my first impression was like, I don't know if I want to do that, because I don't know if that was in my you know, vein. But then I was like, you know, you should probably just, you know, take a chance, write something new, write something you haven't written before. And that's what came out. The Get Stoned Together came out of that. And
it's
turned out really well.
It's a great song. And the folks in our chat room and had been following our show for a while, they've been hearing it in replays over and over, and they just love the tune. And what I think is really interesting about the tune is that you're not really in the cannabis community, so to speak. I mean, you work at a medical marijuana clinic, but you're not a regular toker by any means. How did you get the feel and the flavor of how honest that song is? I mean, you got lines in there like, you know, I can't stop eating all these chips and stuff. I mean, what led you to understanding the cannabis community like you do?
Well, college. I mean, even I wouldn't consider myself, you know, part of the culture that in depth, but I certainly went to college, and I certainly had lots of friends who were a part of it, and, you know, it didn't stop me from, you know, smoking every once in a while. And when I did, everything that I talk about in that song is pretty much what happened, you know?
Well, that's great to hear.
So, that was basically it.
So, folks, check out joshbelville.com, and we are a couple of those rare three-L'd Belvilles. So it's Bellville. Yes. So joshbelville.com, check it out. Josh is also an actor and director and stuff. What's happening for you performance-wise coming up this summer? You got any gigs that are coming up people want to know about?
Well, most immediately, I'm part of this band, this gypsy kind of Russian folky band called Vragi Naroda, and we're playing the farmer's market here in town on the 19th. And that's what's coming up immediately. I don't know if the summer's going to hold for me, though. I'm still open to everything.
All right. Well, if you want to get a hold of Josh Belville, just check out joshbelville.com, or you can send me an email at stash@normal.org, because I know where he lives. I can track him down. This is Get Stoned Together from Josh Belville. And hey, buddy, thanks so much, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Spend my life with you.
am so proud. That's my brother, Josh Belville. Turned 27 today. Get stoned together. You can get it online at joshbelville.com. You can also get it as a download from our website, stash.normal.org. It
only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Time to take a look at Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Nothing on the calendar for tonight, Wednesday, May 12th, but Thursday, May 13th, Pittsburgh Normal is having their monthly open meeting at the Ava Shadow Lounge facility on Baum Boulevard in Pittsburgh. Check out pittsburghnormal.org for details. On Friday, May 14th, a medical marijuana qualifying clinic will be at the North Bluff Chiropractic in Gladstone, Michigan. You can call 906-428-2225 for more information. Also, check out minormal.org, the site for Michigan Normal. Also, Ohio Normal will be having their spring encampment at the Crazy River Ranch. For more information on how to attend that, check out ohionormal.org. On Saturday, May 15th, Wisconsin Normal is having their statewide meeting. This will be at Mr. Ed's in Toma, Wisconsin. And for more information on that, check out Wisconsin Normal at winormal.org. Also, on Saturday afternoon, Kansas City Normal is having their public meeting at 4010 Pennsylvania Avenue at the Westport Coffee House. You can check out kcnormal.org or call 888-KC-NORMAL. For more information on all these events, including the names, email addresses, phone numbers, maps, websites, and more, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
That's right. Every Wednesday, we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, published author and accomplished researcher on alcohol, marijuana, and drugs. Any question you might have on the science, the history, the culture, anything, the medicine about marijuana, get them in into our chat room here. Cannabis Carrie will pick them up and bring them to us. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show. Hello, Dr. Mitch. Can you hear me?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, good. Glad to have you back there. Just before we load up.
Yes, I can. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great. Before we get into the question and answer segments, I always like to give you a chance at the top of this segment to let us know if there's any new breaking news scientifically, research-wise, about cannabis and its users.
There's a great new paper by our friend Greg Carter that's appearing in the American Journal of Hospice and Palliative Medicine about cannabis and ALS. And those who know Greg know he's really passionate about helping folks with ALS. That's a disorder that Stephen hawking has.
Right.
Most folks do not live as long as Hawking when they develop this disorder, and it has a ton of really difficult symptoms. It turns out that cannabis is really ideal for this because it can promote
pain relief, muscle relaxation, but also things we don't usually think of with cannabis, like helping the bronchial passages. These folks often suffer with problems with their appetite and sleep, which we know cannabis is great for. One effect that we don't usually think of as a medicinal one is a big help for them, and that's the reduction of saliva. They have poor control of the muscles in their mouths, and being able to control the amount of saliva is a big plus for these folks, particularly if they still have their speech and want to make sure that they can maintain the quality of their social interactions and talking.
Yeah, this amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease, a very debilitating illness. And we've had on our show many different patients, and Kathy Jordan is the one that comes to mind in Florida, who was diagnosed in the 80s, given, I don't know, 2 years to live or something. She's still around 20 years later, and she thanks cannabis for that. Have you heard a lot of similar anecdotal reports with regard to Lou Gehrig's disease?
In fact, I have, and the longest living folks, I don't know about Steve Hawking, do seem to be the ones who are turning to cannabis. Its antioxidant effects that we've discussed in the past suggest that may be part of the source, and its ability to protect neurons, which is really the key to this disease. It's a problem in the motor neurons. So I feel like the opportunity to have a number of clinical trials is something that Greg argues for, and I do hope he gets all the support he can on this idea.
Yeah, it's definitely research that needs to move forward. We need to help these people who are suffering. All right, let's get to our questions. We got all sorts of questions coming up from the chat room. We'll get to as many as we can, but remember, if we aren't able to get to your question, you can always email Dr. Mitch at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. Let's start it off with a question from Destruction, who wants to know, can you please explain to the best of your knowledge, what roles do the different cannabinoids play in medicinal cannabis? Of course, people know THC, the psychoactive one, but explain some of the others and what their purposes are.
There are over 60 different cannabinoids, things that are unique to the cannabis plant that are present. And it's hard to know about all of them, but the ones we know the most about are, of course, THC and cannabidiol. Cannabidiol is not psychoactive the way THC is, so it doesn't really seem to produce any of the changes in thought or mood that we usually get from THC. It does seem to have some neat properties as far as helping folks prevent seizure. And it's also intriguingly good with the aspects of sleep, although THC seems to do a good job with that as well. The beauty of it, and why I think it's neat that it's present in the plant along with THC, is it can take that kind of mind-altering, strange, magical ideation edge that THC can provide and kind of modulate that a bit so it's a little less severe and a little less long in its duration. And that seems to be one of the drawbacks of Marinol, the THC pill, is that it just makes people completely stoned to the bone and in some cases mildly psychotic. And that freaks everybody out so bad when, in fact, you use the whole plant and have the cannabidiol present. You don't get those effects. And it's, of course, a much better medicine under those circumstances.
Well, this is something we were discussing in the chat room before the show, too. People were asking me some questions on Marinol, which, of course, is the Schedule 3 drug that the federal government allows doctors to prescribe. And it's 100%, you know, THC and a sesame oil there. Could you explain for folks why Marinol isn't as good as the whole plant cannabis with respect to the differences between ingesting THC versus inhaling THC and the lack of the CBD? In Marinol.
The clincher here is that inhaled THC, of course, has a quicker impact. We know that any drug that's inhaled through the lungs goes basically right to the bloodstream and immediately from the lungs up to the brain. There's an opportunity for relief of symptoms in literally 15 seconds. With Marinol, unfortunately, you have to take this pill, digest all of the ingredients, wait literally at absolute best an hour in order to get any relief from symptoms, and then you don't know if you've done your dosage correctly or not. It's an orally administered drug. It comes in 2.5 and 5 milligram and 10 milligram doses finally. But what if you need something in between there? Well, with a vaporized cannabis, of course you can take a smaller hit, a larger hit, modulate your dose within a few seconds. In contrast with the Eaton drugs, of course you don't get the feedback anywhere near as fast. And if you overshoot it, it can be a real, real drag. So these 10-milligram pills, although some folks really do need them at that level, can be incredibly debilitating. And once you've already eaten it all, hey, that's just too bad. It's already taken you, so to speak. And so here's where a vaporized cannabis has a big advantage. And then the presence of cannabidiol and the other cannabinoids is key for some of the perhaps anti-seizure properties, and definitely for keeping the impact of THC in the appropriate range so that you don't have it be distorting or causing you weird cognitive phenomena that you would normally get when THC is all by itself.
Okay. Let's move on to another question from the chat room. This I don't have a name attached to it, but the question is, we say kids shouldn't smoke weed. What age would you feel comfortable with young adults experimenting with cannabis?
Here's what's funny about that is everybody already has a model for alcohol, and that is 21. The data seen actually suggests that any use prior to 18, particularly heavy in early life, is probably problematic. I think that the idea that somebody 19 could use is certainly not conceivable, particularly if they're a careful user who's an infrequent one. But everybody freaks out at that idea so badly. Some of the brain development data suggests that age should be 24, which I just find completely unrealistic under the circumstances, at least for alcohol. But with cannabis, it looks like anywhere in that 18 to 21 range is probably okay. But again, we're talking about folks who are going to use once a week or once in a while, not somebody who's going to be getting high every day.
Okay. And of course, politically, it's going to be, you know, pretty much close to impossible to pass any age limit that's lower than that for alcohol, just because, you know, of the ignorance of the population out there who think that marijuana is worse than alcohol. So we'll continue to work on that here at Normal. Question now from NDarg99 wants to know, why do I feel more chilly when I'm high?
This is a curious thing, and they only appear with certain strains, but there is some capillary closure with at least some strains so that you're not getting as much blood to the periphery under some circumstances. The other thing I find is a lot more folks with their use of the plant are actually more attentive to their temperature and how they feel anyway. They're monitoring how they feel more because they're essentially looking for the effects of the plant, and that's when they often notice they're cold, even if they would have noticed before if they'd only paid better attention.
Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, a professor of psychology at State University of New York at Albany. This is our cannabis science segment, and we're taking questions from our live chat room. We've got a question from 420 Time, who wants to know, can a standard drug test tell between Marinol use and cannabis use?
No, in fact, a standard urine screen looks for THC metabolites and does not distinguish where they come from. So if they come from Marinol, a cookie, or a vaporizer, a blunt, they're just not going to be able to tell.
Okay. Another question here. How might smoking cannabis affect one's teeth?
As it turns out, exposure to heat is a little bit hard on your gums. And then chronic exposure then has your gums recede, which then exposes parts of the teeth that are more vulnerable to cavities and things like that. But more importantly is the I'm so high, I'm not going to brush my teeth, and by the way, I'm eating cookie dough situation where folks fall asleep before they've actually taken care of their flossing and brushing. And so I really want to encourage everybody. I'm telling you, dental work, in addition to being expensive and painful, it does tend to co-vary with cardiac stuff down the line. So let's keep those teeth infections away. Just put a big thing of floss right on your TV there or right near your vaporizer so you know it's the thing to do before you hit the hay that night.
Okay. Question here asks, I know that cannabis is recommended for migraines, but sometimes cannabis makes my existing headache worse. Why might that be?
This is a curious situation and says a lot about the distinction between migraine headache and muscle tension headache. So we're just getting the information on this. But apparently, if you can get the cannabis in your system when you're first noticing, say, light flashes, minor symptoms of a migraine headache, you're going to hit those cannabinoid receptors where they need it most, and that's going to decrease the chances and duration on my headache. Unfortunately, later on in that development, it may be essentially too late, and it can exacerbate pain. It also may dose-depend, so a little too much can make it so that the reaction actually greater sensitivity to rather than less sensitive to the pain. And we've seen not only with migraine, but with neuropathic and pain that are created in the laboratory. So the clincher here is both dosage and timing in combating migraine.
Okay. A couple more questions we have time here for. And again, if we don't get your question on the air, you can always email it to 420research@gmail.com. Lisa Boston wants to know, what do you think about home drug testing kits?
Bottom line on home drug testing kits is, what are they for? So I'm not a big fan of, say, parents chasing adolescent children around with them. I feel like that can really undermine a relationship unless you're in a really serious situation where really there's just no way around it. The ones that you can get that are, you know, relatively expensive are also good in both their specificity and sensitivity. And by that, I mean they're going to give you positives when you really are positive, and they seem to be unlikely to create positives when you aren't positive. The take-home message also is, again, are you just using it in order to make sure you're going to be okay for a workplace drug test? I'm very much with you on this predicament, but they seem to be relatively effective under those circumstances. If you're testing negative at home, you're very, very likely to test negative at work.
And that's a perfect opportunity for me to follow up with this question from Mr. Spoff, who wants to know, did you finish studying for your test?
Oh, these guys are driving me crazy, Ross. So this thing has gotten to be an egregious hassle. So, I mean, this has been going on a long time. Even doing the show, I was creating some modest craze. It's been one of the longest times I've had dry since the 1980s.
Wow. But still not taking the test yet, though.
Afraid no.
Oh, my. Okay. Let's get a couple more quick ones here. Kentucky Cannabis wants to know, can cannabis cause sleep disorders?
It turns out that relying on cannabis for sleep in the long term can suppress certain stages of sleep and create some problems as far as falling asleep then the subsequent night. And you can see how you can kind of spiral into this weird situation where you need to fall asleep and then you're kind of unable to fall asleep without it. What I'm finding is people respond well to mixing it up a little bit with things like tryptophan, which, 2 grams of tryptophan before bed, a big glass of milk, some melatonin in the 2 milligram to 10 milligram range seems to help folks. And then say you use cannabis one night, tryptophan one night, melatonin one night, and suddenly you've got a really wonderful combination where you don't get tolerant to any single one of those and still get a really nice night's sleep and fall asleep relatively quickly. It's a great arrangement. I do want to emphasize the behavioral interventions for insomnia as well. Just use your bed for sleep or sex, none of this watching TV, reading, you know, eating, things like that in bed, because then suddenly your bed is no longer a cue for good things. And making sure you don't have caffeine afternoon, which I know is really hard for some folks, but you'd be surprised at how much your quality improves if you don't have any coffee, say, after lunch.
Okay, well, we'll have to wrap it up for now with our Cannabis Science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Again, the email address is 420research@gmail.com. And once again, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us here on the show. Everybody always loves it when you're here.
I just wanted to tell everybody to get their hotel reservations for the conference if they have it, because it's filling up fast.
That's right. Normal National Conference, September 9th through 11th here in beautiful Potland, Oregon. You can check us out at normal.org to get all the information on the conference. Thanks a lot, Dr. Mitch. It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash.
Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 53 after the hour, just a little bit of time for me to get something off my chest with regard to legalization in California. I returned from the Spring Gathering Medical Marijuana Expo and concert festival, whatever, in San Bernardino. And I was on a panel with Dale Clare from Oaksterdam University, who's the spokesperson for the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010, and Jennifer Soares, who's an attorney in Los Angeles. And Jennifer had some complaints about the Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative, basically saying that the initiative language is flawed and we shouldn't vote for it. We should instead wait and craft better legislation in 2012. And of course, I have some issues with that, the first of which being that putting people in a cage for growing a plant is wrong. And every minute we wait and allow more people to get arrested and incarcerated for growing a marijuana plant is a tragedy. It's wrong. So the fact that we've got something on the ballot now in 2010 and we can finally move beyond this idea of some people who use marijuana are criminals and other people who use marijuana are patients, the sooner we can get past that, the better it's going to be, not just for California, but for the rest of the country. And Jennifer and I have been going back and forth on the blog. You can read all about this at stash.normal.org. I've got a post called California, Just Legalize It Already. And one of Jennifer's problems here is that she says that the local control in the initiative makes it so that certain cities won't regulate the buying and selling of cannabis. Her point would be that all of these cities, you know, in Los Angeles, San Diego, and so on, who are so against medical cannabis in Prop 215 are never going to go along with the local option of buying and selling commercial cannabis. And I think she's got a good point there. There's going to be a lot of places that won't allow it. But some will, right? Some will. Some will allow the buying and selling of cannabis. And for everybody will be able to possess up to an ounce and be able to grow their own 5x5 garden. That applies even in the cities that don't like it, like LA or San Diego. And the minute you legalize the growing of even one marijuana plant in the home, you suddenly take away from the cops the probable cause to search or to get a warrant based on the smell of cannabis, the sight of cannabis, the sight of a pipe, high electricity bills, infrared signatures on your home. The minute you can grow any amount of cannabis, all those tools for law enforcement go away. So in my opinion, that is more than reason enough to vote for this initiative. Now, I do agree the initiative has some flaws. I think a 5x5 area is too small. You know, if you're going to try to grow clones and vegging plants and flowering plants, 5x5 space is kind of hard to get all that done. But again, without probable cause, if they can't search you, how are they supposed to know how big a garden you got in the first place? And the other problem with the initiative is it does create new penalties for people above the age of 21 distributing marijuana to people between the ages of 18 to 20. A lot of people have pointed this out, of the idea of the 21-year-old couldn't pass a joint to his 20-year-old girlfriend. What that would be now is a ticket, but after this passes, it would be a jailable offense. And at Normal, we never like to see anybody go to jail for cannabis. But despite this flaw, at least all the people 21 and older who are sharing with their friends who are 21 and older, you know, 21 to 100, let's say, won't be arrested or incarcerated or have any sort of sanctions. So if we can just get people 21 and older to just, you know, just say no to smoking with their younger friends, wait till the younger friends grow up. You know, every time you set some sort of age limit, you're going to have this sort of situation. When I was growing up in Idaho, the drinking age was 19. And when we were coming up, there was a big push by Mothers Against Drunk Driving to pass laws to make the drinking age 21 all across the nation. Now, in my case, they were about to sign the law 2 weeks before I turned 19. Turned out that the governor went out of town. Butch Otter, the lieutenant governor, came into town. He's kind of libertarian, and he vetoed it, or he, you know, let it go on, and it didn't get passed for another 3 months. But what it meant is that when it passed, people who were 19 before the law passed could drink. After the law passed, you had to be 21. So there was a situation where I was 19, able to go to bars, able to drink, and my friends like Carrie or people that were, you know, 4 or 5 months behind me couldn't go out to the bars with me, and I couldn't share drinks with them. So I didn't, right? You just wait for 3 years, and eventually they're 21 and everybody can drink. This kind of language was added to the initiative because they wanted to rebut preemptively all the people who would say, you know, what about the children? You just want to get the kids high. There's going to be more kids high. So they put that strict language in there. I don't particularly agree with it, but it's in there now. It's on the ballot. We can get it changed after the fact. We'll go back to the polls and we'll do another initiative in 2012 if we have to take away that. But let's get it passed now. Let's get legalization passed now. And another point that she brought up was that if Los Angeles and all these Southern California areas don't allow for the commercial growing and selling of cannabis, that then people would have to drive to Oakland to get their cannabis, which I found kind of silly because they're getting their cannabis now, right? And this led me to talking about Prop 215 and what I call overloaded wallet syndrome. In California, and I've been to 3 different events over the past 4 weeks where I have seen, you know, multiple advertisements for $45 an eighth dispensaries, 4 gram eighths. And in one event, there was an actual tent set up, a 10 by 10 tent, where there was a doctor supposedly taking vitals with a stethoscope while the loud rap music was playing, taking $99 cash only to get recommendations for medical marijuana. And there was a line of young people out the building getting that. So this idea, you know, and I never like to say that, you know, people are abusing a medical marijuana law, but come on, folks, we gotta be straight here. There's plenty of people out there in California who are getting medical marijuana for their overloaded wallet syndrome. I don't have a problem with that. I'm for everybody smoking marijuana if they want to, medical or not, but the longer we try to keep up this charade where we tell people it's raining while we're pissing on their legs, the more backlash there's going to be against real medical marijuana in the other states. So let's have it legalized in California so we can end the duplicity, so that we can just come out and say everybody deserves marijuana and we can work it from there. For more on that, check out the blog at stash.normal.org. The post is California, just legalize it already. Get your comments in there. I'll read some of them on the air later this week. For everyone here at normal.org, Radical Russ and Cannabis Carry, and good luck to Ganja John at the doctor's office. This has been Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Okay. So that means that our whole solar system could be like one tiny atom in the fingernail of some other giant being. Oh, this is too much. That means that one tiny atom in my fingernail could be
one little tiny universe.
Could I buy some pot from you?